Welcome to Solo Parent Life. I'm your host, Dr. Robin Rocket. And today I want to welcome a special guest, Dr. Claudia Six. Claudia, thank you for being on the show today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Claudia and I are going to talk about a couple of different things today. Like I said, she's a clinical sexologist, and we're going to discuss sort of how to be authentic to yourself, whether we're talking about your own sexuality, around dating, around how you present yourself in dating, who you're looking for as a partner. So when we start with ourselves and are authentic with ourselves, we are more likely to find a good partner. So Claudia, I'd like to start off by talking about erotic integrity. You wrote a book called Erotic Integrity, How to Be True to Yourself.
Yes, I did.
This is a really great book, Claudia, and I would love us to discuss it just from the perspective of being a single parent and erotic integrity.
So let me start by explaining the basic concept of erotic integrity. When I work with my clinical sexology clients, I'm a detective, and the first thing I do, regardless of what they come in with, is I try and figure out who they are as a sexual being. Because too often, we try to comply to the predominant cultural model, or we try to be a certain way that's not necessarily a fit for us. So I try to sort of broaden the scope of who somebody truly is as a sexual being. And then I help them embrace that, and then we talk about how that's going to fit into their life in a way that works and in a way that's an authentic expression. So erotic integrity is a pretty broad theme, but it comes up a lot in my work. So that's why I wrote the book. So in dating, what I tell people is you got to be clear about what you want. You got to have the list, the yeses, the nos, and the maybes. A lot of people are resistant to having a list. It seems contrived. It seems artificial. But you know what? When you go out to buy a house or rent an apartment or get a car or get a job, you know what you want. You know if you want a sunroof. You know if you want a station wagon or a truck. You know how much you want to pay. It's the same with a relationship or a partner. You got to know what you want.
So when you're talking about the list, you're talking about what am I looking for in a partner?
Yes, the yeses, the nos, and the maybes. So the yeses are the must-haves. The nos are the things that you absolutely, you know, will not tolerate. And the maybes are, well, you know, I could live with that. And I think it's very important to have that, partly because you're setting an intention.
Right.
And because you're a lot more likely to know it when you see it.
Well, that really makes sense. So the clearer you are in what you're looking for in a partner, who you want to be with, what kind of person that is, the clearer it will be to you when they're standing in front of you, or even, you know, how to find them. Where would they be?
Yeah. And, you know, everybody likes, you know, sunsets on the beach and, you know, sitting by the fire and having a glass of wine. I mean, you know, and a sense of humor, you know, big whoop. You need to get a bit more specific than that. But having the list, I tell people, like, have a little piece of paper or have a note page in your phone. And, you know, you're sitting at a traffic light and you think of something, jot it down. You don't have to figure it all out in one day, and you can revise the list, you know, as you go out on dates. And you said, okay, well, that person had that, so I'm going to put that on the yeses. And that person had that, I'm going to put that on the nos. So I do think it's very important to be accountable for your intention and to think about what you want. There's very simple things like, you know, if you're a vegan athlete, you know, somebody who eats fast food and is a couch potato is just not going to be a fit. I mean, there's basics. Mm-hmm. If you are a morning person, are you okay being in relationship with somebody who's a night owl? Because there is an intimacy that is lost. And I'm not using intimacy as a euphemism for sex, but just that mammalian falling asleep together and waking up together, that gets lost. So you have to figure, or if you just want time to yourself and it's like, oh, you know, if they sleep in and I have a few hours to myself in the morning, great, that works for me.
Yeah, I also imagine this is a journey. I mean, everybody's journey to becoming a single parent is unique.
Mm-hmm.
But some single parents have been with partners for many years. So I can imagine that their list might be a little outdated, a little old.
Yes.
So taking time to figure out, you know, what is my new list? And also just putting yourself out there and stretching yourself on the list, like what you were saying, you know, who am I right now? What are my needs? What am I looking for in a partner? And really putting yourself out there to meet people in a different way or just even meet people and take risks.
Yes, and don't base the list on what you think is available. Base the list on what you want and stick to your guns. Don't settle for less. And if you've been in a relationship for a long time, yeah, you might have had a different list, you know, before that relationship, but you've learned from that relationship. So you might think, you know, I don't want somebody who's, you know, incapable of keeping a job, or I don't want somebody who's depressed, or I don't want somebody who doesn't have kids and doesn't know what it's like to be a parent. Mm-hmm. You learn from the relationship you've been in, even if you're going to do things differently in your next relationship.
Yeah. And what about thinking any relationships that you've been in the past, what you weren't happy with? Do you have any suggestions, Claudia, on how you can get more clear, more grounded about what you need or want? Because I'm just thinking, you know, one thing that I really hope single parents can begin to really appreciate is that we have to take time for ourselves. And sometimes that means we have to take time to put ourselves first before our kids. That self-care piece is just so important in us being able to thrive as single parents. So today we're really focusing on, you know, who we are and who we want to connect with in an intimate way.
Yeah, you know what they say on the plane, put on your own oxygen mask before you help anybody else. And I have said this many, many, many times to my clients. You have to take care of yourself first. It's not selfish. Plus, you're modeling behavior for your kids. You're modeling, you know, mommy or daddy, you know, needs to go out and exercise, or mommy or daddy needs to see their friends once in a while, or, you know, mommy and daddy needs to do yoga on Saturday morning, or get back in touch with your body, I'd say, would be very important. Doesn't matter what that is, but part of getting back with your sensuality and your sexuality is getting back into your body. And I think that's one thing that people lose when they're raising kids. You've got kids climbing all over you. If they're young kids, you're breastfeeding. You're driving them around all over creation to all their various activities. And people forget about themselves. So the first thing, fastest way to still the mind is to move the body.
So not even just exercise. I'm thinking just dancing.
Absolutely. Yeah, dancing's exercise. Doesn't matter whether it's yoga or meditating or horseback riding or
just different ways that you can move your body and get in touch with yourself.
Yes.
Getting a massage, I can imagine.
Bubble bath.
Or getting a pedicure, a manicure. Yeah.
Simple things.
Yeah, with all the time and effort we put into our children, sometimes we can get lost and put ourselves in the back burner.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm going to get more explicit here, but masturbation, sometimes people are parents and they think, oh, I'm not supposed to be a, you know, a sexual being, or, you know, I've got kids, you know, that's not important right now, but it is, you know, self-pleasuring is part of getting back in touch with your sensuality. Again, there's no particular frequency you have to keep up. There's no particular way you have to do it, but just giving yourself permission and owning your sexuality is important. And you don't just get to hand yourself over to a partner when you find one. You got to bring your sexuality to that relationship. You can't just expect somebody else to kind of figure it out for you, or, you know, discover it for you. Often parents kind of lose that side of their self.
Yeah, and I can see how this relates to what you were talking about earlier, that if you find someone you want to have a sexual relationship with, if you're in touch with your own sexuality and making that time to get clear about what your needs and desires are and making time for yourself sexually, like masturbation, then communicating that to your sexual partner becomes easier and more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And it increases the opportunity for your needs to get met.
Yes. And talking, opening your mouth and talking with the new person about all this is the tricky bit. You got to know.
Very tricky.
You got to know who you are and what you want. But there's also timing. You know, you can't lay it all on the line on the first date and scare them away.
Right.
And, you know, you want to talk about the sexy stuff before, you know, the clothes come off. Mm-hmm. And you want to have the conversation about safe sex and STDs and what to do, you know, what you want to do if you accidentally get pregnant, if you're of pregnancy age. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important conversation to have that people don't have.
Yeah, these are really important issues to bring to the
birth
table
control.
And talk with your partner about.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a big, you know, scary doomsday thing, but it's just very practical. What do we do if we accidentally get pregnant? Because it happens mm-hmm. to intelligent, competent people.
Yeah, so this goes back to being really clear with yourself, right? Your list, what your wants and needs are, so that you can be brave enough to bring these things up, you know, with your sexual partner.
And another thing I want to say about dating an erotic integrity is be clear about what you want. Do you want to have fun? Do you want a lover that you just get to play with and see once in a while? Do you want a friend with benefits? Do you want your next life partner? There's no right or wrong answer, but being an erotic integrity is knowing who you are, knowing what you want, and not misrepresenting yourself. Because too often, I think people, you know, settle for casual sex when what they want is a long-term relationship, or seem like they're, you know, signing up for a long-term relationship, when really all they want is a little bit of fun in the sack. So there's no right or wrong. And also, I feel that the notches in the bedpost, you know, the scattering your oats phase is an important developmental stage for everybody. I think you need to do it at some point. The vast majority of people need to do it at some point. So if you've been in a relationship since young adulthood and you never did scatter your oats, this is the time to do some discovery. This is the time to do some sampling and see what's out there and get a better sense of what might be a better fit for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun. And there's nothing wrong with the rebound relationship. The rebound relationship serves an important purpose, doesn't take anything away from that person or that relationship. So to not misrepresent what you're looking for.
Oh, that is such great feedback on so many levels. And when you're talking about, you know, sowing your oats, and that most people need that developmentally, especially if you, you know, never really got that opportunity as a young adult, I can see how this would relate to, again, finding yourself, right? Finding your sexual self, finding your erotic integrity. But I can also imagine that there might be hesitation for people. Yet if we don't take the time to really explore these different sides of ourselves, you know, it's going to be that much harder to find a partner that can truly meet our needs and make us happy.
Yeah, play the field a little bit. See what's out there. See what you like, see what you don't like. Because if people get together with their, you know, beloved in young adulthood or sometimes even earlier, and then they've been married for, you know, 10, 20 years, and then they find themselves single with kids, you know, you may not have explored all of who you are as a sexual being. And there's a lot to discover. You know, teenagers date, have multiple, you know, people in college often have multiple relationships. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you know, use birth control and be responsible and, you know, don't do it when the kids are home and do it in a safe place and, you know, tell a friend where you are and, you know, you're a grown-up, be responsible about it. And don't have the kids witness it because it's none of their business and they don't need to know that part of your sexuality.
Yeah, that's a great point, that if you are out there playing the field, to keep it private from your children, because it's just, you know, it's not, it's confusing and not helpful to introduce those kinds of partners to your children.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
And when I say it's confusing, what I'm talking about is, you know, kids can get attached, right? When mom or dad bring around a friend, if it's a friend with benefits, or maybe a new relationship where you're having those strong, loving feelings toward each other, you know, kids pick up on all that and they get hopeful and, you know, they start to form their own bond with that person. So I guess it just, you know, being mindful of that, that until you're really clear that this is someone you want to go the long mile with, I like this idea that, you know, you can have this other side and explore your sexuality, but it's okay to keep that private, important actually, to keep that private until you're clear on the kind of partner that you want to really be part of your family as a single parent.
They're going to get attached or they're going to get rebellious and obnoxious about it. So regardless of how the other parent is no longer in, you know, if you've lost your spouse through death or through divorce, you know, the child has had to adjust to that. And the child may not welcome whoever it is that you're excited about.
Yes, especially with older kids.
Yes. Or like you said, they may get attached. And I think that's not to be taken lightly. It's like you're dating that person. The kid isn't. So don't introduce, I feel strongly about this. Don't introduce your, you know, your dates or your boyfriend, girlfriend to your child until it seems clear that this relationship has potential to be long-term. And then, you know, don't introduce him as your friend. they're not your friend. They're your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your lover or, you know.
Yeah, being really clear.
Be honest.
Yeah, being honest with your kids and also with your partner and having that conversation with your partner. You know, when are we going to introduce each other to the kids and what are we going to call each other?
Friends don't spend the night in your bed. Mm-hmm. It's not a friend. Mm-hmm. So call a spade a spade. To me, that's part of erotic integrity.
Yes, that's very true, Claudia. I mean, this, it's just the whole premise of what we're talking about, right? Erotic integrity, authenticity with ourselves and with our partner. And it's just more complicated when you're a parent. You know, you trying to not only be mindful to yourself and having this private time to explore what you want and need in another partner, but also being mindful about how that's going to impact your children and when to time that to introduce that partner to your kids.
And if the person you're dating has kids and your kids get to meet their kids and then you're not dating anymore, the kids are like, oh, well, how come we can't play with them anymore? Well, because I don't want to play with their parent anymore. And, you know, that's a bum deal for the kids.
And another loss for them.
Yeah. And a lot of what you're talking about pertains to boundaries. Mm-hmm. And in dating, I think it's important to pay attention to boundaries. For example, nowadays, you know, people go to bed with their iPhone. So responding to texts in the middle of the night conveys, you know, 24/7 availability. You're setting the tone for the boundaries in the relationship. Whereas if you don't respond to texts in the middle of the night, you say, you know, I turn my phone off at night. I need my beauty sleep. I'll be happy to text with you, you know, tomorrow after I take my kid to school. Mm-hmm. Then you're setting a different boundary. Mm-hmm. And also in dating, notice if you have compatible boundaries with the other person or if they get your boundaries. If you find yourself spending more money than you're comfortable, or if you find that you're always the one buying dinner, or you're always the one going over to, you know, their part of town, or if you're always the one making the phone calls, or you're always the one extending yourself, mm-hmm. or if your boundaries are getting pushed, you know, if you have one glass of wine with dinner and the person says, ah, come on, you know, have another glass of wine. And then, you know, the conversation takes a tone that you're not necessarily comfortable with, but you've had two glasses of wine. So, you know, so notice your boundaries and notice if your boundaries are getting respected. And a very important tip in dating is pay attention to your experience of yourself in the presence of the other person. Notice if you feel seen, if you feel heard. One complaint I hear all the time from my clients who are single and trying to find a relationship and going on dates is that they feel like the other person's just talking about them and not asking questions. Notice if you feel that you're, you know, sucking in your belly because you're worried about being skinny enough, or notice if you're worried about them seeing your car because your car might not be fancy enough. Notice if you feel like you're competing with their past relationships that they're talking about and you don't feel hip enough or, you know, skinny enough or rich enough or sexy enough or horny enough or whatever. Just pay attention to your experience of yourself. That's your touchstone.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's this idea of being good enough.
Yes.
Being good enough, being comfortable in our skin, and then those, your children are forming attachments with their children.
And people are on their best behavior on a first date. I tell people, have at least two dates. I don't care how the first date goes, have at least two dates because the first date's not real. It's a dry run. Everybody's on their best behavior and you're not necessarily being, you know, authentic or so just give it, you know, just do take two. And if you didn't like the person, then see if make sure that you really, really didn't like them. If you don't like them after the second date, okay, call it a day. And note that all your resistance is going to come up. Oh, but, you know, his nose is crooked. Well, you know, I mean, you know, just be compassionate with yourself and know that you're going to have all these reasons why you're going to find objections and because you're going to be scared.
Right.
You're a normal human being. You're scared. We're all scared. It means you're paying attention if you're scared.
I really like this tip of just on your dates, your first and second date, tracking yourself, tracking, you know, how you're feeling physically, emotionally, you know, what you're thinking, but also between the dates, you know, any negative thoughts, because we're feeling vulnerable. We're feeling scared, like you're saying. And because of that, we might build up some resistances to being open to being vulnerable again with somebody.
Yeah. And just know, just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean anything is wrong.
Right.
It just means you're vulnerable.
It means you're alive.
Yeah. It means you're right on track like the rest of us.
Yeah. Because sometimes the best thing we can do is just put ourselves out there. Taking a step forward and being vulnerable means you're alive. I'm here. I'm going to try this in a different way and see what happens. I'm going to go down a new road this time.
And if a date doesn't work out, I tell people, don't sign up for dinner. That's too much of a commitment. It's an hour and a half. Who's going to pay for it? If you know off the bat, you know, assuming online dating, because that's what everybody's doing these days.
Yeah.
Don't sign up for dinner on a first date. Do coffee. And if it's not going to work out for you, and you're very clear, do the positive sandwich. You start with a positive. I really appreciate you coming here to meet me today. And, you know, it's been a leap of faith for both of us. Then you give the feedback. And I'm very clear that this is not going to be a match for me. There's nothing for anybody to argue with because you're talking about you.
Yeah.
And don't go into details like, you know, you're older than you said or you're fatter than you said or, you know, whatever. And then you end on a positive. And I don't want to waste your time and I wish you every success. And I'm going to leave.
Oh, I love that. Just positive.
Positive, Sam. Yeah.
Clear feedback and then positive ending.
It's all about you. Yeah. And you're setting a boundary. Yeah. And if they start arguing with you, that's good information.
Right.
Yeah. And if they say, wow, you know what? Thanks so much for being clear. I wish you every success too. And thanks for telling me, you know, what's real for you. Great.
So Claudia, if we could change gears and talk about erotic integrity from the perspective of how to raise children from this authentic place.
That's something people don't necessarily think about. And I was born and raised in France. So I know I don't sound it, but in France, there's a lot more ease talking about sexual subjects. And my parents decided they weren't going to give me a birds and the bees lecture. They were going to wait until I asked questions. And apparently, I must have asked questions at a very early age, because by the time I was 5 years old, I was telling my French grandmother's Catholic widow friends, you know, all these old ladies dressed in black, I was telling them all about how babies were made when I was five. So I feel that raising kids with erotic integrity is answering their questions. If kids know that they can ask, they will ask. And give them information that is age appropriate. Don't give them like the whole plumbing diagram. Who cares? You know, the plumbing diagram is not that interesting and you'll get that in school anyway. But answer questions at a level that is going to be relevant to them, and also ask them, where did you hear about that? You know, did little, you know, Johnny next door, you know, did you guys talk about that? Like, how did you hear about that? And what do you think that is? What do you think that means?
Yeah, I think it's so important in these, you know, these are hard discussions to have with our children. But if we remind ourselves, go from where they're coming from. So you're right. I mean, asking them, where did you hear this? And what do you think that means is going to give you a big clue on where they're at with this topic and, you know, and lead you and how you want to talk about it with them.
And don't make them wrong.
Yeah, taking a breath, you know, a big deep breath, and knowing that it's important to provide a safe place for your kids to talk about sex and their bodies. And if they're coming to you, you're going to be able to understand where they're hearing this information and what they're curious about.
Because they're going to be curious.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And also I get up on my soapbox about giving body parts the proper names. Mm-hmm. You know, if a little girl wants to call her, you know, her special place, you know, her hoo-ha, or a little boy wants to call his penis as Johnson, great. Name it whatever you want. As long as you know that it's called a penis and it's called a vulva. Unless you're hanging out with Annie Sprinkle and you've got a speculum and a flashlight, you are never going to see a vagina. The part you get to play with is the vulva. That's the outside part.
Oh, yeah. Everybody calls it the vagina.
I know. The much maligned vulva. It's like, what happens? That's actually where people put most of their attention, is on the vulva. Yeah, little girls need to know about their vulva and their clitoris. And also not shaming kids for masturbating. You know, kids are going to fiddle about with themselves. And, you know, they're going to stick their hand in their pants or dry hump the floor in the living room when you've got dinner guests over. And, you know, and just say, you know what, that feels really good, doesn't it? And you know what, you need to do that when you're by yourself. It's not okay to do that when we have people over. but good for you. Have a good time.
Yeah, that's private time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being mindful, you know, of expressing this, mm-hmm. not only that it is private time, but your tone, yeah. you know, how you're expressing that so that it's not shaming them, but it's just setting that boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I can see how this is builds building blocks for our children in their own erotic integrity, that having, you know, sexual feelings and exploring our bodies and asking questions about sex in our bodies, it's all okay. It's just about setting appropriate boundaries and a safe place for them to talk about this stuff.
And when you're a single parent, you can't sort of turn to the other parent and say, well, you know, you want to take this one? You want to field this question?
Right.
You don't have that option.
Yeah.
You're on the spot. And you also, you got to, if you're divorced and the other parent's around, you got to make sure you're on the same page, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, ideally, you want to communicate with the other parent that these talks are happening and what your child's been curious about and how you answered it. And I think this helps keep parents on the same page to what is being communicated to your child, that that's consistent information, and that everyone feels included in these conversations.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah.
Well, Claudia, we have had such a rich discussion today about erotic integrity from the perspective of just being authentic within ourselves and also just as a parent and discussing this and appreciating this within our kids. Before we end today, is there anything else you'd like to sort of leave us with regarding erotic integrity?
The thing about erotic integrity is that it's not just about what's going on between the sheets. It's about the bigger picture of how you show up in the world. And in the book, there's 10 different chapters with 10 different themes. And at the end of each chapter, there are questions for the reader to ask themselves. And there's a chapter on newly dating. And there's a chapter on parents of young kids. And there's chapters on coming out and infidelity and performance anxiety. So erotic integrity is about the bigger picture of how you show up in the world. So there's something in the book for everybody. And the book can be found on my website, drsix.net, drsix.net, drsix.net. And also I gave a TED Talk a few weeks ago, which should be out any day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you go to my website and it's not up yet, if you sign up for my email list, I will let you know when the TED Talk comes out.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to keep an eye out for that TED Talk. And again, just thank you so much, Claudia, for being on the show today. Really appreciate all your feedback and insights.
It was a pleasure, Robin.
Well, that was such a great interview with Dr. Claudia Six. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It really left me with just continuing this growth within myself to be authentic, to be grounded, to be clear about who I am and what I want and what I need. Because when we do put ourselves out there in the dating world and creating new relationships with others, it's hard, it's scary and vulnerable. But the clearer we are about what we want and what we bring to the table and what we're looking for, I think the more likely we're going to find what we need and we're going to have healthier relationships. And then just as a parent, right, when our kids are going to get curious about questions about sex or questions about their bodies. And so I'm taking that deep breath and just hanging in there with them, because if we give a safe place for them to explore this, when we're going to be cued in on sort of what information they are getting out in the world, and we're going to be hopefully a lifeline with them of giving them, you know, correct, important, helpful, and appropriate feedback around those areas. So thank you so much for listening today. I ask that you please feel free to visit Solo Parent Life. I have a great e-report that I created. I worked really hard on it, trying to think, you know, what kind of information could be helpful to single parents out there. And it's 5 tips for single parents to find relief and feel empowered. And you can download that at my website, soloparentlife.com. Would love any feedback as well. soloparentlife@gmail.com. You can send me your comments or about the e-report or about the podcast. So thanks again for letting me into your ears today. Have a good day.